whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Of all of the different idols, the different influences, the different leaders and directives that are out in this world, of all the different things that we can use to order our own lives and to form our perspectives around, of all the things we can put on the throne of our hearts or in the center of our minds, which one are you going to pick to be the influence of who you are and how you act? Which one are you going to listen to direct you to where you ought to go and who you ought to be? Which one are you going to allow to be at the top of your list, filtering downward so that everything else that you do and every other part of your life takes shape and precedence and priority in relation to that? Joshua says, as for me and my house, of all of these other possibilities, of all of these other influences, of all of these other idols, we will serve the Lord. And just sort of seeing that phrase, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, it's actually kind of a good and popular phrase that you might have seen on art, framed or wall art of some sort. You can even buy little things to kind of put it by your front door, as for me and my house. And it kind of seems like a good announcement, a good commitment that you make, and it's become, quite available for people who would want to have that around so they can see it and they could try to live up to it. But remember, in the context of where it's being given, is after all this time, after all these generations, after all of these years, Israel is finally back home. God made a promise to the children of Israel that they would never be lost or forsaken, and that he would offer to them this eternal home within this promised land. He said, I'm going to make out of Abraham a mighty nation, descendants of more numerous than the stars. They will be a blessing to all the world, and I will give you this land. That happened a long, long, long time ago to the people who were there with Joshua. And these people have now come out of the wilderness. And Joshua has led them through this land of promise. And they're about to finally stake their claim and be able to announce, after all this time, after all this waiting, after all this difficulty, after all this travel, we are finally home. And you need to kind of think about the context, about how long this truly is. They have not lived there since Joseph first called his family out to stay with him in Egypt so they wouldn't starve to death during a famine. And so they lived for generations in Egypt as foreigners, as sojourners, as visitors, as travelers. And then they lived for generations as slaves. And there were prayers and there were tears and there were cries, and God heard them. He delivers them from slavery and bondage. He leads them out of Egypt through the Red Sea, there in the wilderness for 40 years. They travel in the wilderness. Most of the people who started are now dead. The only people who have made it are those who were born there. I don't know anything in my life other than walking in the wilderness. I don't know anything in my life other than every day there's a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire and there's manna for me to eat. And I've heard these stories. And my father told me, and his father told him, and his father told him that there was going to be this land of promise. And it has been generations, and now it's finally happened. Joshua is saying, after all this time, after all these years, he's fulfilled his promise. He did it. He did it. You made it. You made it. You are whole. And how must that hit them? How must that strike them? generations that have been waiting, that have been hoping, that have been longing. And they're the ones. How many people have come and gone? How many generations have lived and died? And now these guys are the ones who are actually home. Moses leads into the promised land, but he's not allowed to go in. He dies after giving, he's been given a vision. There it is, right across the border. But it's not my job to take them across. It's the job of Joshua. The baton is passed. Joshua is the new leader, and he is the one who leads this remnant. And they finally make it home. And that's what he's saying. You know, it has been literally generations. It has been countless generations since we've stepped foot in this place. It has been countless generations that we have been far away from home. It's been countless generations where we've been hoping and waiting and longing that God told us there was a promise, but we hadn't seen it. And now he's done it. He did it. He did it. You are home. You are home. Your grandfather, he hoped for this day, but he didn't see it. Your great-great-great-grandmother, and she was a better lady than you'll ever be, and she didn't make it. God has chosen you, and you are here. He did it. We made it. We are home. So what are you going to do? Now that you're home, what are you going to do? What is your response for being finally brought back home, for being the generation that received God's promise? Which influence, which leader, which direction, which idol, who's going to sit on the throne of your heart? Who is going to be at the top of your mind, at the top of the list? Who is going to be the influence that guides and shapes you in what you do and in who you are? Who will you serve? There are all sorts of choices out there. There are all sorts of choices all around you. But as for me and my house, I will remember the one who promised to bring me home and who did it. As for me and my house, I will remember the one who fed me in the wilderness and led me day and night. As for me and my house, I am going to follow the one who has led us out of slavery, who has remembered us over the generations, who have cared for us, he's provided for us. He made a promise to us so long ago that none of us can even remember, but he fulfilled it and he kept it. And I am going to follow the one who brought me home. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lots of choices, lots of options. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What do you do? Now, we are well acquainted with the truism that talk is cheap. Right? And it's true. It, in a sense that it costs us very, very little to just kind of make noise and we can say any old thing. But before we kind of take that truism as meaning that all talk is always cheap, let me just say the talk doesn't have to be cheap, but it's got to be connected to actions that are costly. And then suddenly, that talk, which might not have had much value in and of itself, becomes very valuable, and it becomes very precious. Joshua is not saying that by standing up and being counted for the sake of the Lord, and I'm done. But he is saying you have to take that first step. But that's all that it is. It is a first step. It's an important step. It's a significant step. But if all that comes out of your mouth is, yes, I will serve the Lord, and you never do it, then that talk was indeed cheap. It was just noise coming out of your mouth and the molecules of the air vibrating against eardrums and stuff. It didn't mean anything. But if you take that statement as a promise that you are making in relation to the promise that God has fulfilled, then suddenly those words, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, suddenly those become very valuable. They become very precious because you are making the decision that your life, it's going to have a cost to it, to serve the Lord, and I am willing to pay it today, tomorrow, and always. And so you back up those words with actions. You back up those words with behavior and with attitude and how you live your life and how you prioritize things and how you spend your money and how you treat other people and all of the things that we've talked about who's the influence and who's on your heart and who's in your mind and how you're going to live and who you're going to be. And suddenly that talk is united with those actions, and it becomes very precious, and it becomes very valuable. And it's not cheap because you're choosing to allow it to cost you your life. Talk can be cheap, but it doesn't have to be, provided you will do what it takes to back it up. And we know this. Not just in a theological or a scriptural sense. We know this in our lives, that we want talk and we want action. We want both. It's like body and soul. They're supposed to go together. They're supposed to work together. The Lord wants all parts of us, not just one or the other. That we want actions towards us to be, you know, good and caring and loving and strong and everything else, but we also want words. We do. We may say that talk is cheap, but we also desire certain things to be said, don't we? No matter how well you are treated, no matter how caring the other person is, every single person here at some point just desires deep within them to hear the words, "I love you." Right? You're a woman. I don't care. I don't care. Everyone wants to hear it. Does it change the reality? Does it change those actions or behavior? No, but it sort of reinforces it and it makes it clear. There's something about vocalizing it that allows us to no longer assume, but to know. For some of us, if you don't hear it enough, or if it's been a long time and the doubt starts to creep up, and I'm not exactly sure, and we need to hear it. We hope to hear it. We hurt until we hear it, and then we hear, "I love you," and it makes a difference. Isn't it? Some words really are that important, and they can be valuable if they are connected to costly actions. You can stand up in church, man and woman, make some promises, and say two very small, simple words, "I do." It's harder to find a sentence shorter than that one. It's three letters. But what does it mean? It can mean everything. It can mean everything. You're making a promise right here that those words aren't intended to just mean for this moment or just right now. But you're basically saying, "I do," and it's going to happen every day. I'm going to have to figure it out, but I'm going to learn to say, "I do," all the time. It's not just in this ceremony, it's not just in this moment, it's when I get up in the morning and I thought she was going to make coffee and she didn't make coffee. But I've made a promise, for better, for worse, sickness and health, for richer, for poor, and I am making a promise when I say I do, that with my words is the first step to the commitment and cost of my life, that I'm going to keep saying I do through my actions and my words from here on out till death do us part. And sometimes that other person is going to be just a lousy old so-and-so, and sometimes I'm going to be the lousy old so-and-so, and I don't feel like it or they don't deserve it, but I've said I do, and so I will. Act in that loving way, I'll act in that sacrificial way, I will act like husband, I will act like wife. It started that moment where it came out of my mouth, and I live it every day. Words like that, very important. Very valuable, because they cost your life. Now, if you said I do, and you walked immediately out and shacked up with somebody else, then you would rightly say that those words were quite cheap indeed. Didn't mean a thing. What were they connected to? I do, we can all come up with some sort of word or phrase that can be connected to action and be quite valuable and be important and be precious. We can come up with things that have struck us in particular ways. The one that occurred to me while I was preaching the first service is, you're hired. That's the start of something. Now, if somebody says you're hired and you show up to work on Monday and they say, and who are you again? Didn't mean much. But you're starting off this relationship. You're kind of contractually binding yourself. You're going to work for me. I'm going to pay you. We're going to work together in this. And there's going to be this compensation that goes back and forth. And we're beginning a business relationship from here on out. You're hired. Right? Here's an important one. Thank you. Simple, small, brief. But how important can it be? How important can it be, especially when it's backed up by action and by behavior and by costliness? Someone does something, they offer you something, they have been helpful, they have been a blessing, and even if it doesn't have to be said, don't we still want to hear it? Don't we still want to hear that acknowledgement that somebody did notice and somebody does appreciate it and it's worth even a little bit of going out of your way in order to acknowledge that appreciation and say thank you. And it really means something. But it means something, not if you just say it, thank you, walk away, you ignore them, but if your life matches your words, and there's a commitment and a costliness to how you treat that person that demonstrates that gratitude and appreciation that you have spoken with your mouth, that it also might be evident and obvious in your life. But we really do want both, and we need both. We want to feel appreciated. We want people to act in an appreciative, caring, and loving manner. But we also want to hear the words. We want the doubt dispelled. We want the assumptions resolved. We want the lack of clarity to become clear, and we want people to say what they need to say, what we hope they will say. It's not everything, but it really is something. And the more it's connected to the costliness to our lives, then the more valuable and precious, the more costly those words themselves become. Joshua says, the Lord has blessed you and your parents and your grandparents and countless generations. The Lord has made a promise, and it has been fulfilled. The Lord has led you day and night. The Lord has provided for you. The Lord has brought you here to this moment, and He has brought you home. A promise has been made, and He made it. He fulfilled it. He did it. You are home. There are promises that God has still made. We have yet to see them fulfilled, but why in the world would we doubt that He would do it? With all evidence to the contrary that God keeps His promises, why wouldn't He? What's going to stop Him? Of course He will. So what are you going to do about it? To say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, it's simply that response to the overwhelming blessings, to the care, to the promise fulfilled. Well, this is what I'll do. This is the gratitude I will show. This is how my life ought to look. Knowing that someone has cared for me and provided for me. Knowing that you have made these promises and you should fulfill them. And knowing there are promises still yet to come. And by God, you will fulfill those too. So yes, I will stand up and be counted. You're telling me that now is the time? Then fine, I'll do it. I will stand up, I will raise my hand, and I will say, yes, it's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. As for me and my life, He will sit upon the throne of my heart. As for me and my life, He will be the top of my head, the top of my mind. The way that I make my decisions and order my life, the way that I prioritize things, the way that I spend my money, the way that I treat other people. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This will be my gift back to Him because He's given me everything. It's not enough for me to say it, but that's where I'm going to start. I will stand up and be counted. I will stand up and say it. And then, with God as my help, I plan to do it. I plan to do it every day. And then I'm going to screw up. But He's going to forgive me, and I'm going to keep on trying. And then I'm going to fall. And I'm going to do the wrong thing or make bad decisions. And He is going to be merciful to me. And so I am not going to quit. And it's going to get hard, and it's going to get frustrating, and sometimes it won't feel great. But I will know of all the promises He has already fulfilled to me and the promises that are yet still to come, and I won't stop. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's worth saying, it's worth doing, and it has to start somewhere. This is where this verse, this is where this phrase, this is where it moves from being cheap words to being the start of something very costly. And so in and of itself becomes very valuable and very precious. If you say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, you walk out and it never makes a difference, and those words were indeed cheap. They cost you nothing other than the time it took to say it. But if this is the first step, I will stand up and be counted, and then that's where I'm going to go. I will say I do, and then this is how I am going to treat my wife. I will say you're hired, and this is the working relationship we are going to have. I will say thank you, and this is how I will demonstrate that appreciation. I will have my words match my actions, even though they will cost me. Because it's worth it. Because He is worth it. And these words will not be cheap. They'll be very valuable. And they will be very, very precious. There are many influences and idols out there. Lots of things we can let sit in our hearts or order our lives. Lots of ways we can build the way that we look at the world around in light of what God has done for you. In light of the promises He has kept and the promises still to come, that I'm convinced we can take to the bank. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Who will you follow? As for me and my house, with the help of God, we will serve the Lord.